This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We are back with hour number two of Ron Segi Today, live nationwide and around the world on this last weekend of the month. Can you believe that already? My first guest this second hour will be joining us for the first time on our show. Her name is Karen Knotts. She's a comedian. She's also an author. And she is also daughter of the late Don Knotts, a genius of a comedian and character actor. She has penned a book that I love the name of it, Tied in Knots. It's a fascinating book, and she'll be talking about it on the show. Olympic champion Mark Spitz will be joining us. There's a brand new season of New Amsterdam premiered last weekend, and Jocko Sims and Tyler Labine will be here from that show. And then we'll talk about Small Business Week with Enrico Ortegon. And that's all coming up this hour with Ron Segi Today.
I used to hate the worn-out plastic mat under my office chair. It dented and cracked, and it was uncomfortable to roll on. And then I found the premium alternative, a glass chair mat by Vitraza. I liked it so much, I bought the company. I'm George Pardo, president of Vitraza. Our glass chair mats are made of super strong glass and protected with a nanotech coating, so you'll always get a smooth, easy glide. And they're beautiful. Tired of replacing plastic mats? I promise, this is your last chair mat. We give you a lifetime warranty. Comfort, style, durability. A Vitraza glass chair mat will completely transform your workspace, home office, or office. Order online at Vitraza.com. That's V-I-T-R-A-Z-Z-A.com. We stock 18 popular glass chair mat sizes, and shipping is free. Get the look you deserve and get 10% off any glass chair mat with promo code George at Vitraza.com.
Our U.S. Constitution is amazing. It's full of what's called negative rights, designed to protect us from the corrupt powers of a dictatorship.
Like our right to worship our own God, not some official state religion.
Our right to prevent the government from seizing our property without paying fair market value for it.
Or our right to be tried by a jury of our peers, people like us, not by some star tribunal.
And that's why America has become the richest, most just society in the world.
Other countries force so-called positive rights onto their citizens. These enable one group to take from another group their free speech, money, and choice by using government force. Socialists love wielding this power over people.
Sometimes we take our freedoms for granted, but we can lose our Bill of Rights and our Constitution and become like Venezuela or North Korea, failed, brutal socialist regimes.
We need your help to spread the good news about our amazing U.S. Constitution. Help us take back America. Go to OurAmericanRights.com.
Brought to you by the American Media Council.
And we are back live all across the USA and around the world. It's Ron Segi Today. And if you are living on this planet, you know that theme song. In fact, I would assume to think that people not on this planet would know that theme song. Of course, it's from the Andy Griffith Show. And joining us right now is a lady that I am very anxious to talk to. I know she has a new book that's coming out the 21st of this month, and I'm so excited about it because she's quite a lady. It's called Tied Up in Knots. Joining us right now is Karen Knotts. Hi, Karen. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, I failed to mention, but I think people could probably connect the dots, that you are the daughter of the great Don Knotts, and you've written this book, which has a great name, Tied Up in Knots, My Dad and Me. Was it difficult to write a book like this? Because you really have written it warts and all, Karen.
Well, it was difficult for me because I never wanted to write the book. And everybody kept telling me, you need to write a book. And I would be like, no, I'm an actress, I'm not an author, da-da-da-da-da. But for some reason, about 10 years ago, I started interviewing people about my father, not really even knowing why I was doing that, but I thought maybe someday I will write the book. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, about a year and a half ago, decided that I wanted to write the book, and then the pandemic hit, and I couldn't get out, and you know how that is. So I had this backlog of interviews that I had done, so I was able to do it, and it was really exciting. So I toured, I've gone on tour with my show, which is also called Tied Up in Knots.
Right.
But the book is more of an introspective.
It is a fascinating book, and one that I think everybody should read because everybody's a fan of the show. Now, your dad was quite an individual. I want to begin, though, by saying this, and you mentioned it in the introduction, that you are an actress, you're a playwright, you're a stand-up comedian, and you have penned one-woman plays, Roger and Betsy. I would assume that to a certain extent, and I've asked this to Lucy Arnaz and Dina Martin, is it difficult, Karen, to be the name Knotts, to be in the shadow of your father? Does it open doors, or is it harder to get in those doors?
It's a complex thing because, you know, in Hollywood, everybody uses any name that they can. And so at the same time, people are resistant to that, you know. So if you use, you know, a certain name, then they may put up a barrier against you. But on the other hand, like if you do something with it, like I wrote the book now, people are interested in when I had the show, people that using the name with a product, that seems to open up doors. But before, when I was just trying to get into acting and would use the name, then it seemed to close the doors, oddly enough.
I can understand that. Let's talk about your dad. First of all, I have often said that the character of Barney Fife is genius. I mean, he originally went on that show to be the sidekick of Andy Griffith. And, of course, within just a couple of episodes, Andy had the foresight to see that this man was the star of the show from the standpoint of the of one-liners. Andy was the straight man. But this character, how did he invent it? Because I have to tell you, I watch the show like twice a day, and I'm not telling you that because you're on the show. And I've seen the episodes 9 billion times. I am still in awe of that character.
Everybody is, because it's a genius. You're right, it is genius. I don't think my dad had any knowledge that he of playing that character until he saw Andy. You know, they had done a play on Broadway together called No Time for Sergeants, and then they went their separate ways. Andy went to do the movie Facing the Crowd, and my dad went out to the Steve Allen Show to Los Angeles. They were out of touch. And then Andy saw, Dad saw Andy on an episode of the Danny Thomas Show, and his friend Pat Harrington said, "That's a pilot." And Andy says, signed up to do a pilot. So Dad called Andy, and geez, you could use a deputy on your show. We played a sheriff. And Andy said, "Dom, I didn't know you were out of work. I thought you were on Steve Allen." I said, "No, the show was canceled." And he went in and auditioned, and he was just, he wasn't offered, he was only offered a couple of episodes. But after two or three of those shows, they realized what they had.
There's no doubt about it. And as I mentioned before, the lines and nip it, all of these lines that he had, I just can't express the character. You know, they talk about Shakespeare and the characters in Shakespeare. I mean, this is similar or better than that. I mean, because nobody before he did that ever had that kind of a character, and nobody will ever be able to repeat it in the future. To talk about some of the personal things here, because I know that you really go into great detail on the book. I mean, you talk about the fact that his childhood was very abusive. I guess he became a ventriloquist for a while. I saw a couple of pictures of him as a ventriloquist. Was he kind of a womanizer? I hate to ask his daughter that, but I'm going to ask you that.
No, he wasn't a womanizer. He was a ladies' man.
Okay, that's better.
Women loved him, and he did have lots of dates, and he had girlfriends. I had a mother and two stepmothers, but he was a very kind person. You know, I never had no problem with any woman. Nobody ever said to me, "Oh, your father was terrible," or whatever. You know, every woman loved him. In fact, Sam Bobrick, who was one of the writers, biggest testament to your father is that all of his ex-wives showed up at the funeral.
Oh, I guess that is. Yeah, right. He didn't want you to go into show business, did he?
No, he didn't. I wanted to go on the Andy Griffith Show when I was a child, and he said that it would be a lonely life for a child, and I guess it was a little bit lonely for Ronnie Howard. Got him some, you know, things to do on the set. They played ball with him. But my dad made me wait until I was 16. He put me on his variety show. So he changed once I got older. And then when I started pursuing it as an adult, he was totally supportive.
It's good advice because I'm sure that he saw a lot of child stars go south. Of course, Ronnie Howard isn't one of them. Lord. I was friends with George Lindsay, and I was having lunch with him one day in Nashville. And I asked him about the show, and he said, "Well, all I can say is that I should have been nicer to that little boy. It could have been an Apollo 11.
But, he was a very funny man.
Oh, George. Yes, he really was. Tell us about his later life. He was failing in health for a long time. Was he not, Karen?
Not that long. He got, I guess, around 2001. But see, he had bronchitis on and off. See, his lungs were weak. And around 2001, he did start getting a little bit more seriously ill with the lungs. But he still worked. Even then, he did voiceovers all the time. And he still toured. And even had, he had a little oxygen tank that he'd take with him the last 5 years. Even with that, he was still working.
God bless him. I tell you, he was a real, real trooper in this business. And he left the Andy Griffith Show to go into more feature films. Did he ever regret that?
No, he did not. Because, you know, playing Barney Fife for 5 years was extremely, extremely difficult. You know, he was a perfectionist, and the character was perfection. And to keep that level of perfection going is not really possible. He couldn't live a life. He had no life. I mean, in those days, he did many more shows per season than we do now. It was like 24 shows.
Right.
Or more than that.
26.
Like, you know, he couldn't really live a regular life. So much was demanded and expected of him. They were really working on two shows at once. They would be filming one show and doing the script read for the next week's show. And so over the weekend, he was learning his lines. And, you know, very little time off. He was most every show. Really all he could get.
In testament of your father's talent, a lot of people get pigeonholed into a role. As strong as that role was, he could do other things and be received as another character. And that's an immense talent in this business. Karen, I know you're on a busy schedule. I invite you to come back anytime and talk about the book and talk about what you're doing. We need to do that. Tied Up in Knots, My Dad and Me, is penned by his daughter, Karen Knots. It will be out this month. Get it. And Karen, please come back because I want to talk about what you're doing in show business. And when you have more time, let's do that.
Oh, I will. Thank you for the offer. I would love to.
Okay, Karen, thank you so much for writing this book and good luck. And we look forward to your return.
All right. Great.
Thanks. What a nice lady. Very, very cool person. And she would have to be because she's Don Knotts' daughter, and he's about as cool as they got. And that music, once you hear it, you know exactly where it belongs, and you can't get it out of your head. I guarantee you that for the next 14 hours, you'll be walking around whistling that song. And of course, it was the theme from the Andy Griffith Show, where so many stars got their start, including, of course, the father of our guest, Karen Knotts, Don Knotts. And I got to tell you, as I mentioned in the interview, that character of Barney Fife was pure, unequivocal genius. There's no doubt about it. It has never been done before, and it will never be done again. Well, we're going to pause for a second. We invite you to visit our website, which is ronsegi.com, ronsegi.com. You can hear our latest show on demand 24/7. We're going to pause for a second. There's more to come with Ron Segi today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Nationwide and around the world, you're listening to Ron Segi today. Well, I think in the 30 years I've been doing this nationally syndicated show, this is the first time our next guest has been with us. And boy, I tell you, he's probably one of the most recognized Olympian stars ever in the history of Olympics. He's just unbelievable. If we ran down everything that he did as an Olympian, we would be here forever and ever and ever. Bringing on board right now to talk about a very important project is Mark Spitz. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you here, my friend.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
I don't believe that we've gone all this time without having you here, but let's not let that happen again. Okay. Let's talk about something that you're involved with that I found fascinating. It's called HEFF. H-E-F-F, the Holocaust Education Film Foundation, a nonprofit organization of which you are not only a spokesperson, but on the board of directors. Tell us about it, Mark, because when I read through this, this is something that is long, long overdue.
Well, it's an organization that's aimed at preserving the impactful stories of the Holocaust survivors and through film and documentary form. There aren't that many survivors left, and time is of the essence, and so we're trying to get their stories told. And they're quite compelling. More importantly, it's how they've actually survived over the last 40 or 50 years, and how they've actually been positive to their community and themselves and people that they've touched and reached. And their stories are real, and it's a very visceral experience, these documentaries. They're almost an hour long, and they tell the story. We supplement them with actual footage of the horrific things that happened along the way. Of how we tell their stories.
You know, I think one of the problems we have in this country, and I'm not trying to be a philosopher by no means, Mark, but there are so many young people, and not, maybe not so much the baby boomers, but certainly the millennials, that don't even know about the Holocaust. They hear about it. They hear the name, okay, but they really don't know what it's about. This is something that we must never, ever forget, and I'm assuming that this vehicle accomplished this memory in the minds of generations to come.
Well, that's the whole purpose. I mean, there's a lot of naysayers that say that it didn't happen, and it's hard to try to understand how somebody can see something that basically is not only in the documentary but real footage of, you know, thousands of people in massive graves and the horrific things that have been told about what happened in those concentration camps, of being the deniers that that's never happened. And like you just said, there's new generations that are not told about the story. It's almost like a byline. Well, in World War II, there was the Germans, and they had this thing called the Holocaust, and it was concentration camps, and 6 million people died, and that's it. And then they go on to, you know, the next, you know, soundbite. And that's very unfortunate, because these things are real, and people are being persecuted and killed, you know, even today as we speak, in smaller versions of Holocaust. And so these stories are important that they tell, and the impact that we try not to let these stories die, and that we don't want this to happen again, anybody for that matter.
Sure. You know, it's amazing to me that there are people that are living and breathing that deny this. I mean, that to me is unbelievable. You have different segments. For example, I know you tell a story called the Joe Ingles story. Two that I found fascinating is the Dr. Susan Spatz story, and also a very famous television actor called From Holocaust to Hollywood, the Robert Clary story, which is the story about Robert Clary, who played on Hogan's Heroes, which always amazed me that he played on a show that was about the Second World War in Germany. But these are stories that are true and that are very mind-boggling and emotional to watch. Where can we see these? I mean, when you get this series put together, as you have already started, where are they available to view, Mark?
Well, a company called Dreamscape Media has basically been able to distribute these. And you can find these films on DVDs on Amazon and other outlets to be viewed. And also, they can be downloaded from educational purposes, and schools can download these things and look at them for viewing, for teaching about what took place through these storytelling vehicles that we have. It's funny you mentioned about the Robert Clary. I mean, ironically, in Hogan's Heroes, he played a POW prisoner.
Yeah.
Well, this was life imitating, you know, what really did happen to him. Being in a POW camp was terrible, I'm sure, but not as horrific as actually he lived in a concentration camp. And, you know, and the Joe Ingles story, that, I mean, this guy basically took a leap off of a train to save himself. And had he not taken that leap, his story would have not been told, because he was being transported from one concentration to another to basically be exterminated. You can't believe that these things happen, let alone we're trying to capture their stories.
You know, you talk about writing a book and being therapeutic. I wonder how Robert did this part that was so serious in his real life and then portrayed it as a comedy on television. I can't even imagine that transition.
Well, it's funny, because I met him during the filming of the documentary and spent quite a bit of time with him, and he is actually quite a character in comic. I mean, and I think that part of his personality has been to make it comical because of the seriousness of it. It would be too sad if he took a different direction. So his life has been structured based on how he's been able to survive and basically give back to not only himself as living a fulfilling life, but one that everybody that he touches knows about these stories. And he was also quick and happy to be able to do a documentary about his story.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we're running out of time. I mean, we're running out of time to be able to talk to these survivors before they're all gone and we can't get it firsthand. So this is very important. And, Mark, congratulations, not only your terrific career, but being part of the board of directors of the Holocaust Education Film Foundation. Is there a website we can go to, Mark?
Exactly what you just said. It's the Holocaust Education Film Foundation.com.
Great. Mark, do me a favor. Please come back. Don't be a stranger here. You're a great guest and athlete.
Okay, well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you, Mark. Our very special guest is one unbelievable gentleman. We all recognize him, as I mentioned in the introduction, probably one of the most recognized personalities when it comes to the Olympics, where he won his 7th swimming gold medal and established 7 world records in the 1972 Olympic Games in Munich. He had captured the admiration of millions of people around the world who had seen his incredible performances on television, went on to work for ABC Sports in 1976, worked on many sporting presentations, including the coverage of the 76 Olympic Games in Montreal and the 84 Olympic Games in Los Angeles, and in 2000 was voted the Athlete of the Century in water sports and was one of the 6 best Olympians of the century voted by Sports Illustrated magazine. Quite a man, there is no question about it, and that is Mark Spitz, again on the board of directors of the Holocaust Education Film Foundation, HEFF, H-E-F-F. We're going to pause for a second. There's more to come live all across the USA and around the world on our show, which, by the way, you can check out our latest program if you go to our website, ronsegi.com. That's ronsegi.com. When you get there, hit the icon that says Listen Live, and you can hear our latest show on demand 24/7. Plus, if you hit the Facebook icon, you and I can become friends on Facebook. And to learn about our concert series, check segisings.com. We're going to pause for a second. There's more to come with Ron Segi today.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
92.
$5,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
This weekend, search crews from more than a dozen agencies are continuing to search the wetlands of southwest Florida for Brian Laundrie. He's the missing fiancé of homicide victim Gabby Petito. Investigators are searching for Laundrie in the Carlton Reserve, a vast swampy area in Sarasota County. Laundrie went missing after his parents said he went for a hike in the park 10 days ago. Hurricane Sam is rapidly gaining strength in the Atlantic. The National Hurricane Center saying it's now a Category 4 storm, packing winds of 140 miles an hour. The 18th named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season is about 1,000 miles southeast of the northern Leeward Islands. Former President Trump holding one of his Save America rallies in Perry, Georgia Saturday night. This is USA Radio News.
Extend your life.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
Veggie Today, live all across the USA and around the world. And I always enjoy when I talk about this show because it is so doggone good on NBC called New Amsterdam. And joining us right now is a friend of ours who's been on the show several times in the past, Jocko Sims, and I think a new addition to our show, certainly not one to New Amsterdam, Tyler Labine. Hi, Tyler. Hello, Jocko. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, Ron. It's good to talk to you.
You know, I meant what I said in the introduction. It's a great show. It's put together so well. But I didn't know that it was actually inspired by a Dr. Eric Mannheimer and his memoirs called 12 Patients, Life and Death at Bellevue Hospital and his 15 years there as a medical director. I never knew that before. So do you stay pretty close to those storylines? I always thought most of the storylines were taken from the headlines.
Yeah, well, that's what makes our...
You know, you both play doctors, and you play them well. And I've often said, and Jocko, I may have said this to you in the past, that you really know how effective you are to the viewing audience when somebody comes up to you at the mall and says, I got this pain in my shoulder. I mean, because you guys are really believable. How difficult is it to learn the terminology while you're doing the show?
Well, Jocko can probably take that question a little better than I can. I don't have a ton of jargon or terminology. I'm in the behavioral studies department, so a lot of the stuff with Iggy is more like, you know, there's a few names of drugs that I didn't know how to pronounce, but otherwise it's pretty straightforward.
That's good.
Jocko, you've had some doozies, though, right?
Yeah, I've had some of that, but I after a while, you know, Ron, you get used to it, and
yeah.
We have the doctors that are with us side by side helping us pronounce things and making sure we don't look like idiots. But I do, that's, you bring up a good point. I haven't had anybody come up to me yet and say, hey, I got this thing, this pain in my shoulder. But Tyler, has anybody come up to you and asked you for some therapeutic advice?
I get people coming up to me asking me about things that I can't even begin to describe.
Really?
Yeah, people come to me crying. People ask
really?
About their friend in quotation marks who has an issue with something. You know, I've been asked about people who have a niece or a nephew who's on the spectrum. I've been asked about from parents and you know target. My kid might be trans. You know, coming out as trans.
What do you say? How do you respond?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ron.
Well,
this is so fascinating.
I know. I agree.
Honestly, I've armed myself with a list of resources and websites that I can pass to people. People ask me online all the time, too, on Instagram. And I actually interact with a lot of my fans on Instagram directly and direct message people with website links and organizations that they can turn to and hotlines they can turn to when they're going through crises and they don't know where else to turn.
Really?
Because I certainly would never profess to be a doctor. I'm never going to try and diagnose you on the streets. But what I can do... pass on some of the knowledge that I've gleaned from this show by way of information that I can give you. You know, I was trying to point people in the right direction.
Does anybody ever come to you and ask the big question, do you have any money?
No.
A lot of family have come out of the woodwork, definitely.
Yeah,
got some cousins I didn't know I had that have stepped up to the plate.
Geez, surprise, surprise, right? Now, the season's premiere performance of the show, starting a new season, started up this past Tuesday, the 21st, of course, on Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock on NBC.
Yeah, well, first episode of the season. Leading up to it, we showed what my favorite episode we've ever shot. We called The Righteous Right Hand, written by Erica Green and directed by our Peter Horton, and it was just fantastic. This week, we have the Island, I think it's called, and this week on NBC. And Tyler is in the episode that's called Matter of Seconds. And Tyler, you're dealing with some sort of divorce situation or something like that, I heard, right?
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, full disclosure, we have had to skip one of our very impactful episodes, 218, because it was just too topical. It was an episode about a pandemic. So that's why, in part, why we're our showrunner put it very plainly. He said people need more facts and less fiction right now, and we don't want to help increase the spread of fear, you know.
No.
So we're skipping forward to 219, but 219 still does deal with some of the fallout from these symptoms that are being sort of passed around the hospital in New Amsterdam. And
you're not kidding. You,
which, by the way, we wrote that last year.
Yeah.
That we had this pandemic that was taking over, consuming New York, and we were short staffed at the hospital, and it happened while we were filming.
Yeah.
That's fascinating that a year ago you wrote that script. I mean, that's unbelievable.
It's a little freaky.
Yeah, I guess
honestly. And also, if you read that script, you know, you think to yourself, Jocko and I were just talking about this, like, wow, wouldn't that be crazy if that actually happened, a pandemic, and then here we are in a real pandemic. You just never think that this kind of thing is actually going to happen, and yet here we are.
Did you go into production with the show? Did you actually tape it, or you just have the script written?
No, we shot it. We shot it.
We finished it.
It's actually one of our strongest episodes, according to everybody at the network and everybody who's seen it at our show, but they had to make the really hard decision to pull it because it was just the responsible thing to do. It will come to air eventually.
Yeah.
People will see it, but it will be out of sequence because we're jumping in. But to touch more on that, and my character is dealing with some really heavy-duty stuff, and that has to do with gun control, and a guy getting his gun taken away, and then he's court-remanded to a psych evaluation to see if he can get his gun back. But he's actually pointed it at his wife, who entered his home unbeknownst to him, and he pointed his gun at his wife, and they're in the middle of a divorce, and they take the gun away from him. And Iggy has to give him a psych eval and sort of writes him off immediately as this gun-toting nut. But the patient himself writes Iggy off as a left-wing, bleeding-heart, liberal New York City doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a bit of a showdown, and they learn something from each other.
Some room for some conflict right there.
Yeah, it's an interesting episode, and we learned some stuff about Iggy that you would never guess.
Wow.
In regards to guns and his feelings on guns. It's an interesting episode.
It is. And, you know, you probably should have a disclaimer on the one that you have about the pandemic, saying that you thought of this before it happened, so they don't think that you stole the idea, because that's fascinating.
Copyright.
Yeah.
Trademark the pandemic. Good idea.
You know, I want to talk so much about you guys individually with all of your, you know, success. Tyler, with the three seasons on Deadbeat and Animal Practice and CBS Mad Love and Sons of Tucson and The Boss and Super Trooper 2, and Jocko with the series Crash with Dennis Hopper, Burn Notice, CSI Bones. But I do want to ask you, in the time we have left, Jocko, I understand that you have a hobby of managing music artists. You and I need to talk one day soon, because I do a concert series with a 15-piece orchestra. So you and I need to have a chat one of these days. You could be my Colonel Parker.
Oh, wow. Listen, I would be honored. And you know, not only just myself, but honestly, Tyler has really stepped wholeheartedly into music, especially during the quarantine as he's making music. I've kind of stepped away in recent years, particularly with management, but I do want to delve back into it.
Well,
but yeah, you're talking to a couple of music guys here on the phone.
I'm sitting in my studio right now, Ron.
Well, and I'm in my studio right now, too, because it doubles as a recording studio and also a radio studio. We'll need to talk, gentlemen, but it's Tuesday, correct?
Yeah, new time slot.
Yeah, that's Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We're talking about, of course, New Amsterdam, and our guests have been Tyler Levine and Jocko Sims. Hey, guys, we need to connect and chat a little later on, but good luck with the show, and I look forward to talking to you about music really soon.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Let's do it.
And the brand new season of New Amsterdam, season 2021 and 2022, premiered this past Tuesday on NBC. Its new time this year is Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. New Amsterdam. Want to remind everybody to check our website, which is ronseggi.com, R-O-N-S-E-G-G-I.com. When you get to the home page, there are two icons. One says Listen Live, and the other one says Archive. If you hit the Archive one, you can hear one of our previous broadcasts. If you hit the icon that says Listen Now, you can hear our latest show on demand 24/7. We're going to pause for a second, but there's more to come. Nationwide and around the world, you're listening to Ron Seggi Today.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at St. Jude.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar four or more times a day and inject insulin three or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. That alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078. The USA and around the world, you're listening to Ron Seggi Today. Well, we have a very important message that we want to pass along today. with our guest, who is the Senior Vice President of Small Business at Salesforce, where he focuses on helping small and medium-sized businesses grow. And with this pandemic and economy the way it is, that's very important. Salesforce, by the way, will soon release the fifth edition of the Small and Medium Business Trends Report. Joining us right now is our guest, Enrique Ortegon. Enrique, welcome to the show. I know you have some extremely important information, and I'm glad that you're on the program today.
Ron, thank you so much for having me in your program. I'm delighted to be here with you today. Thank you once again.
Well, now, let's talk about this Small and Medium Business Trends Report. This is, as I mentioned in the introduction, the fifth edition that is coming out. And small businesses and medium-sized businesses are facing a real challenge, especially over the 18 months that we've had this pandemic on the books. So give us a little insight on where we're at, where we're going to go in lieu of what has happened over the past year and a half.
Thank you, Ron. I really appreciate it. And as you said earlier in your introduction, such an important message. This is National Small Business Week, which is an opportunity for us to recognize and celebrate our small and medium businesses. And this is why today we released our fifth Small and Medium Business Trends Report, which is we went and asked more than 2,500 small and medium business leaders around the world how they survived the pandemic, what have they seen, and how does the future look like for them. And I have to say, yes, it's been a really hard time for all of us, but, you know, this is a very creative and innovative and resilient and resourceful bunch. And many of them were able to pivot and adapt to this new reality in ways that I find, frankly, incredible. So when we went and we asked how they survived the pandemic, 71% of them said they did so by going digital. On top of that, you know, the pandemic continues to be a very hard time. But, you know, according to the Census Bureau, more than 4.4 million new businesses were founded during this time. I have to say I'm incredibly impressed, encouraged, and optimistic about how SMBs are continuing to adapt and find success and find ways to thrive in these new an ever-changing and challenging world.
Now, I have a statistic in front of me that I find rather interesting. 43% of small businesses have offered flexible working arrangements, and I think that probably is the result of this pandemic because a lot of people working from home. Is that good or bad for a small business and a medium-sized business? And the reason I ask that is because certainly I'm sure from just general everyday expenses, having somebody work from home is probably a little bit more advantageous to the employer than having them work in the office place, but the individual that's working off campus, if you will, basically has to have a very good discipline routine, and that's very difficult to manage if you're a small business.
Yeah, that's a great point. And listen, I think small and medium businesses are not only the foundation of our economy, but are the fabric of our society. And one of the things that I've seen them do is not only focusing on their customers, but also their employees. Employees want to have flexible work arrangements. They want to be able to come to the office when they need to come to the office, but they also want to have the ability to work from home when they want to. Listen, you're talking to someone, myself, who I used to fly, I don't know, more than 300,000 miles a year. And I got to tell you right now, I really like my commute because, you know, as someone in our company says, our commute has gone from the highway to the hallway. So I really appreciate the ability to collaborate, you know, digitally as small business has done investments to allow their employees to collaborate and to be productive in a digital environment. And while at the same time allowing them the flexibility that they need to have in order to take care of their families, right, take care of themselves, right, and use overall, you know, live a life that's probably a bit more impactful and I want to say productive in general.
Enrique, 42% have advanced their technology investments in the past year. Does that present a burden to small and medium-sized businesses having to make that extra investment in technology in order to survive in the marketplace?
Actually, I think it represents an advantage. When you look at these companies, 75% of them have said that the changes and investments they made in the past year, year and a half, is going to help them into the long term. So prioritizing customer and employee needs has been very important to their survival, but more importantly, accelerating their digitalization. What they're seeing is that, you know, as they continue to give their customers and their employees the option to communicate with them, right, and to interact with them in the channel of their choice, being an e-commerce channel, a digital channel, a social channel, or in person, right, what they're doing, they're strengthening their relationships. They're building trust. They're rebuilding using this link, not only when they are in their stores physically, but anytime, anywhere they are, right, in whatever channel they like. So actually, I believe this is a significant advantage for small and medium businesses as they go into the future.
We hear so much about supporting small businesses in the community. You know, let's say the neighborhood, whatever it is, go there and support them. How does government impact small businesses, especially when there are many times new government rules and regulations that could suppress the growth of a small or medium-sized business? How does that interact with community go out and support them, and government, we got some things to work out?
Small businesses are the foundation of our economy, the fabric of our society, and 69% of the small businesses we talked to said, they survive in part thanks to government support. 67% said they survive in part to community support. 1 in 10 said they would not be around if it wasn't because of the combination of government and community support. And we've seen some very important things. Like, for example, the Small Business Administration, now low interest loans can be paid back over 30 years, right? And they're increasing their loan amounts from $500,000 to over $2 million. So I think the government, as well as the community, has rallied behind such an important part of our economy and society. And I think that's why in this important week, Small Business Week, National Small Business Week, it's important that we take this time to recognize and to celebrate these entrepreneurs, who, by the way, represent 99.9% of the companies, the businesses in this country are small businesses, and they employ 47% of the workforce. So we recognize them, we celebrate them, we thank them by going out there, buying a small, consuming small, writing reviews, posting them on our social channels, and overall spread the love for small businesses, because I think it's so important to all of us.
This is National Small Business Week, but I think it's imperative to everyone listening to our voices today, Enrique, to understand that every week is National Small Business Week.
Amen, brother. I love it. Thank you so much, Ron. I agree with you. It's like Mother's Day, 365 days a week. It's like National Small Business Week. It's 52 weeks a year. Let's go.
You got it. Enrique Ortegon has been our guest, and he's the Senior Vice President of the Sales Force for Small Businesses, and a great impact the small businesses have in our country, and we need to support them. Enrique, I got to tell you something. This has been very interesting. Please don't just come here during National Small Business Week. Come back anytime you'd like.
Anytime you have me, Ron.
Thank you, my friend. Enrique Ortegon has been our guest, and there's more to come with Ron Seggi today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Chad Dodd, veterinarian and consultant to Limp Bells. Here's some tips for keeping your dog fit while staying at home. Find 15 minutes twice a day and walk your pet at a decent pace around your place. Play hide and seek by hiding some kibble or favorite toys and letting your dog find them. If you have stairs and your dog is mobile, walk up and down twice a day for 5 to 10 minutes. Or better yet, try a power walk in your terrace or backyard for some fresh air. There are more helpful pet care tips at youmove.com, spelled Y-U-Move.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Phil. The new coronavirus called COVID-19 is spreading in China and beyond. While CDC is working to stop the spread of the virus, we can all play a role in stopping this deadly disease. The CDC Foundation is a nonprofit organization supporting emergency response efforts in the United States and around the world. To get updates and learn how to protect friends and loved ones, find out how to help by going to cdcfoundation.org.
That's a wrap with Ron Sedgy today. Want to thank you and all of our guests for being part of the past 2 hours, and they include comedian Jeff Allen, actor Lou Ferrigno Jr., Kelly Edwards, lifestyle expert, the daughter of Don Knotts, Karen Knotts, Olympic champion Mark Spitz, from the new season of New Amsterdam, Jocko Sims and Tyler Labine, and Enrico Ortegon talking about Small Business Week. Well, we'll be looking for your company come next week when we're going to do it again live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Sedgy today. Brand new month starting next weekend. And until then, I'm Ron Sedgy, hoping you have blue skies and green lights.